The continued surge of illegal aliens across America's southern border is embraced by the pro-amnesty clique as an example of how America offers immigrants freedom and escape from violence. Then they go on to declare how these illegal aliens offer benefits to America economically. Those amnesty proponents, well, they conveniently skip over. One other thing that these immigrants offer, here to fill in that blank, is a board-certified otolaryngologist who is a Princeton grad and advisory council member of Project 21's Black Leadership Network, which is an initiative of the National Center for Public Policy Research. We say good morning to Dr. Elena George. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
And website, by the way, for the National Center for Public Policy Research is nationalcenter.org. Learn more about the ways that they address various topics and the work that they do, including the Project 21's Black Leadership Network. So as I alluded to in the introduction, doctor, the amnesty proponents talk about all these wonderful things that blanket immigration amnesty would allow these huddled masses to bring to the country economically through their culture and otherwise. But they're just glossing over one little element that these immigrants bring along with them as well. And what is that?
That's communicable diseases, unfortunately. We've seen an increase in the diagnoses of communicable diseases such as meningitis, bacterial pneumonia, swine flu, and tuberculosis. And those are people who have actually come through the border way stations and have exposed border control, bus drivers, and now the United States citizens to whatever they're bringing across. I really find it just unconscionable that the government is so bent on their political objectives that they would put both United States citizens and these immigrants at risk. I mean, think about coming across 1,700 miles, walking, riding on a crowded train, dehydrated, malnourished, and it totally destroys your immune system. And you are just a setup for whatever's coming through. Then being housed in these catchment areas where there are thousands of people sharing the same air, they seem to cordon off the people who are sick by crime scene tape. They're not even put in a separate room. And they're trying to tell us that this is humane and that it's compassion. And I think that's absolutely untrue.
And a little unforeseen consequence of all this happening, a lot of these immigrants are teens, and some are younger, but the bulk of them are teens, at least by most guesstimates at this point. Now, they're just over a month. Many of these teens are going to be in the public school system.
Absolutely. There was a story last week from Maryland where parents got letters sent home from their school system that their children were exposed to an illegal immigrant child who had tuberculosis. I imagine that's going to be reproduced all over the country in the fall when this happens, when the kids are brought into the school system. They're not immunized. They don't know what diseases they have. And things like tuberculosis are actually slow growing. So you might be able to, you might have the disease and not show it. So you can still be communicable, and nobody would know that. Think about a child who shares toys, and they touch each other. They bring it home to their parents. This potentially could be a nightmare. And tuberculosis is not what it was back in the 20s. Now it's multiple drug resistant, so it's much more difficult to treat.
And this won't just be in areas like El Paso or Phoenix or San Diego. Yeah. There are already plans, and there have already been contacts made, much to the anger of many state governors who were kept in the dark about this by the federal government and by immigration services, about trying to find dumping grounds in places as far north as Chicago and New York City.
As north as Maine, if you really want to go there. I've had conversations with the healthcare providers there who are actually taking care of illegal immigrants in their system who, of course, don't have insurance, and it's costing the hospital system tons of money. And this is not only a humanitarian crisis, it's a medical one, and it's a human crisis. And I just think it just smacks of complete just disregard for human life and dignity to put both American citizens and these people at risk, and to have them walk a gauntlet where they're attacked. I mean, they were putting young women on birth control because they knew before they leave that they're going to be attacked, raped, before they actually get to their final destination. I don't know what you call it, but I call that a war on women.
Yeah, that certainly would qualify. We're talking with Dr. Elena George, who is an advisory council member of Project 21's Black Leadership Network. That's an initiative of the National Center for Public Policy Research, nationalcenter.org on the web. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Again, the pro-amnesty contingent always likes to compare a then and now with how, well, we were open borders and we let immigrants in back in the day. through Ellis Island, so that's no different between then and now. There is a big difference because they had illness checkups, they had quarantines if necessary, and shock of all shocks, a lot of times many of those immigrants were sent back to the country they came from for a variety of reasons.
That's an excellent observation. It's not the same. I mean, we're talking about people who are put in buses and dropped off at Greyhound stations. Who knows where they're ending up? And it turns out yesterday the government admitted that 90% don't show up for their court appearances. All they're doing is getting a foothold in the country and then dispersing. And God knows what they're bringing with them. We're seeing things like tropical viral diseases. And I'm an ear, nose, and throat doctor. I'm really kind of concerned that I'm going to start seeing people and seeing diseases that I've never seen before or that I might be exposed to, but unbeknownst to me. And the government's first goal is to take care of its citizens. And I don't think it's doing that. We need to hold them accountable. And it's not about racist. It's not at all. My dad was an immigrant. I have no problem with immigration, but he came over legally. And that's how this system should work. That protects them. It stops the trafficking that's going on. And it protects us as American citizens. And anybody who thinks that a 2- or 3-year-old or a 5-year-old is going to be a productive member of society initially is being disingenuous. I mean, they're not going to be productive members 3 years, and it's going to be a social system. They're going to just take into the social system, which is already bankrupt and broken.
Well, you mentioned that. First thing I think of is the Philadelphia School District. Because of budget constraints, they actually made huge slashes to the school nursing program. So, again, you're going to have these illegal immigrant children coming in with these various diseases, mm-hmm. and they're going to be way understaffed to even deal with the basics, never mind the above and beyond the call like this is going to present.
Very good point. I mean, just communicable disease is, just think about the other things that have happened, pneumonia, bubonic plague, et cetera. It just takes one person coughing or sharing a cup, and then it just goes viral after that, technically. They're taking home to their parents. They're taking home to their loved ones who are senior citizens who may not have the best immune system. You know, this is potentially could devastate our country. There's no cure for some of these things, some of these viruses. You know, meningitis, whether you have a vaccine or not. And I just want to be clear. People talk about us being vaccinated. What we're talking about are things you cannot be vaccinated to. So that puts every American at risk. I can get TB just like you can if someone coughs on me. I can get, you know, the viral diseases that are the parasites, the viral diseases that are coming from tropical-based diseases. We're now all at risk. So it's just complete. I don't even know what to say. I'm just shocked that no more doctors are speaking out about this, because this affects every physician, every healthcare provider, and every American in the country. There's no other way to put it.
Now, this might sound superficial, maybe taking things lightly, but I don't know if you've ever seen the movie. I hesitate giving too much detail because I don't want to ruin the movie for people, but the movie Contagion?
Yes, I have.
For you listening, if you want to get a visual, it takes the idea to the extreme, but the concept is etched in a foundation. And there's a reason why you'll see in the movie, it starts at day 2 in the storyline. And you'll wonder why, what happened to day 1? Well, you'll find out day 1 toward the end. And when you do, what Dr. George is talking about, I think, will become a lot more significant to your attention and to your concerns. You know, just to wrap things up, Doctor, with what do we know about the health care and the level of health of people in Central America where most of these immigrants are coming from? Does that add to the concern that they're getting little, if any, treatment in their own country, and what they're bringing up here will be new strains, more powerful strains that maybe even our medicine won't be able to deal with?
Well, we do know that they have endemic diseases to South America, like the chikungunya. That's one of the viral diseases that's mosquito-borne. We have dengue fever. Those are things that are basically, you know, subtropical type of diseases, but they're bringing them with them. Now, I think that a lot of these diseases that are happening are brought on by the duress that someone's under, traveling 1,700 miles together in a group, being exposed, having their immune system shot because they're not, the nutritional status is gone. The stress level of traveling, that gauntlet, I think that's putting people at risk of actually contracting a lot of these diseases. That's in addition to the dengue fever and the chikungunya and all those other things that are coming into our country. The bottom line is, I think we need to go back to what we did before. Have legal immigration, quarantine who needs to be quarantined long enough that we know that they're no longer infectious, treat people who have been exposed to TB, because you can be treated with an antibiotic if you've just been exposed but you don't have the actual disease itself. I mean, these are things that are preventative. They're not even trying to prevent anything. They just want to let it rip, which is really just irresponsible. And they're trying to make us feel guilty as American citizens if something's wrong with us for questioning our health and safety. And I say that we need to stop doing that.
And when the media is brought into some of these camps where the illegal aliens are being held, they're given more prohibitions than allowances when it comes to interviews, photographs, and everything. Too much of this is being kept secret and away from the public, and the information is being masked over, clouded over, and even covered up. And it's going to be a danger and a risk and an explosion much sooner versus later. Learn more about this issue and the various issues and work of the National Center for Public Policy Research. You can check out their website, nationalcenter.org. We've been joined by one of the advisory council members of their Project 21's Black Leadership Network, Princeton grad, by the way, from Jersey roots. We always like that. Dr. Elena George. Doctor, thanks so much for your honesty, for your insight, for being here this morning.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.